Everybody likes guns, they just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 155. I'm one of your hosts, Mike, and tonight I have Benny.
Hey.
And Thomas.
Hello.
How you guys doing tonight?
I'm sick.
Sick.
You're always sick.
I'm sick.
I guess that's what comes when you get older, eh?
Yeah. And I've got a procedure on Tuesday. They got to shove a tube down my throat and take a biopsy from my lungs. So hopefully I'm cleared up by then. I don't want to be choking up lungs. But I got a tube down my throat.
That sounds like fun.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm actually terrified.
I wish you all the... Are you going to be conscious or asleep?
I'm going to be semi-conscious. They're going to give me an anesthetic, but apparently they're going to numb the back of my throat. Doesn't mean I'm not going to feel it.
Sounds wonderful.
The last time they told me that I was going to be unconscious and I wouldn't feel a thing, I was wide awake and I felt everything, so hopefully...
Oh, jeez. Well, at least that means that this time you'll be able to tell them that the anesthesia is not working.
Yeah, as I'm choking, because I get a tube down my throat.
Well, I mean, is it better for you to say that when the tube's, like, you know, just starting and then you can get them to pull it out and try again?
Hell, I'll pull it out.
Well, there you go.
I'll yank that sucker right out. I don't care.
That's going to be fun.
We'll see. The doctor's pretty good, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I wish you the best and hopefully everything goes well.
Thank you. I hope so, too. And then next month, I go for a stress test, and I got to test my heart, because I got the CT scan back from my lungs, and they discovered heart problems while they're looking at my lungs. So I got to go now see a cardiologist, because apparently all my valves around my heart are starting to calcify. Sucks getting old. The eyes are going, cataracts. Next thing you know, I'll be having, well, I don't need a walker. I got one already, because Terry's got one. And if I need it, I got a wheelchair and a scooter, so I'm all set.
You got your old age package already, eh?
I do. Terry's got this really nice, it's huge scooter, and it's four wheels, and it's got turbo and everything else. I have to replace the batteries. And
turbo. Do you have flames on the side, too?
No, but she's got a VMAX logo on the front. I can't keep, if she puts this thing in turbo, I got to run to keep up with it. But she, her mobility's changed, so she doesn't even use it. It's been sitting in the garage for 10 years, so we'll have to change the batteries and stuff. But yeah. I'm ready if the time comes.
Well, that's too bad, but I mean, I guess it's better that they caught it early than late.
It was good they did find it, and then of course, now I know that there is a history of heart problems in the family, so.
Okay. So it's not completely unexpected or unsurprising, I guess is the right way to say that.
Yeah, there wasn't any problems. I've gotten tests over the years, and it was just a fluke that they found it on the CT scan, so. What can you do? These are bonus years anyway. I didn't think I'd make it past 30 when I was partying, so making it to 57 is not a bad thing.
Well, you should make it to many, many more.
Yeah. I hope so. Like Nana, she was 99. Grandpa was 95. But my dad was 74 when he passed a couple years ago.
Well.
Who knows?
Yep.
You hear that, Thomas? You got to make it till at least 99. We won't settle for anything less.
You got to beat the family record.
I don't know if I'd want to live that long. My new Nana was pretty, she had all her faculties. Yeah, she was smart as a whip. It was funny. She could tell you everybody's age, everybody's birthday, right to the end. She had all her faculties. So, as long as I'm healthy like that, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is depressing.
I'm just imagining like 100-year-old Thomas like yelling at us for leaving the screen door open or something. I don't know.
Yelling at them damn kids and their polymer pistols.
Damn right. And their polymer lowers.
So besides all this
build.
Yeah. Besides all this depressing news, Thomas, what else did you get up to?
Well, I didn't get to do any shooting. I wanted to go shooting this weekend. I picked up some 40 grain 40 magnum rounds. So I planned to go up to the range on Saturday, but we had like torrential rainstorms, so that didn't happen. And then I was supposed to go to a shotgun match on Sunday, and we again had a torrential rainstorm, so that didn't happen, because the drainage of my range is terrible, so after 20 yards, it's just a swamp. So I didn't get any shooting this weekend. But I did, actually, when I was going to Coburg Hospital, Long's Gunsmith is just up in Bootby. So I took a drive up. I didn't think my BL-22 was ready, but I guess that, you know, since I'm in the area, I'll go check. And of course it wasn't, because I figured it'd be at least six weeks to get it back. But I did bring my business card, and I asked Keith to come on as a guest in a future show, because we've never had a gunsmith on the show. I figured we'd have a lot of questions and answers with Keith that would be really interesting. He said, I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, let me think about it. So I said, okay, that's cool. And I hung out there.
We did have gunsmith, didn't I? Don't think I was even on the show yet. I think it was you and Kelly. You had the guys from SFRC and who's Bolivar's?
We had this, I think the guy Ken. That took...
Ken, thank you, yeah.
Well, Ken was going through the gunsmithing course, and I think we had the guy, I'm not sure if he works at FRC or not. He's Canadian, and he took the course with Ken. And I think we had him on, but that was...
A reservist, or he is military?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Was military? But,
yeah. Keith is his dad was a master gunsmith, so he's been studying under his dad for years until his dad passed away. Now he's running the business, so I thought it'd be interesting to talk to him. It's a country area, it's a country store. So I go in, and whenever you go in there, there's always people in there, and they're just chit-chatting. And you gotta love the customer service. A guy comes in, brings his rifle, puts it in the counter, and just sits down, drinks his coffee. His son comes down, he's got a coffee, and he sits down, and Keith says, so what do you need? Goes, I need a scope. How much you want to spend? So I says, not too much. So, you know, there's not a lot of stock on display. Like if you go in the back room, he's got a lot of new long guns and a lot of consignment stuff, but you don't really see optics. Well, there are a box of optics in the top. He goes, well, how much you want to spend? And I said, well, let me see what you got. So, you know, he pulls out a bottom line Tasco. He goes, nah, that's too cheap. And he pulls out a Bushnell. You know, goes something with illuminated reticles. Anything better? And he pulls out a Monarch. So I think the guy ended up spending $500 on the scope. But, you know, as soon as the guy decided what he wanted, he said, okay, takes a rifle, puts it in the mount, takes a level, levels a rifle, pulls out the scope, goes out, we're going to need higher rings. And the guy was in and out with the scope mounted, done, 20 minutes. And it's done properly. He bore sighted, he did everything. You know, you got to love it when you walk into a shop, you say, I want to buy a scope, and you get it mounted, bore sighted, everything done perfectly in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit about... I tried to get some federal primers from him, and we went on as a lot of the retailers or distributors actually have a live inventory, so the gunsmith can go in there or the retailers can go in there and actually see what they have in stock. Nobody has federal small pistol primers. Nobody. He checked every distributor. Nothing's left. So unfortunately, I couldn't get any of those. It was funny. We were talking about the distributors, and I said, which one's the worst to deal with? And he just looked at me, and he goes, Tour Wholesale. And I started laughing. And he sent a shotgun in for warranty repair for a customer because he had a couple of Trigger Wholesale products. It took them 4 months to send it back. And when he got it back, they never did repair it. So he stopped doing all business with him because of stuff like that. What else did I do? And I spoke to listener Aaron. And I'm trying to talk him getting an AR build. So he wants to get an AR lower. And he was looking at the FMK stuff. And I'm like, I heard a lot of horror stories about the first generation. I don't know what the newest generation's like, but I actually looked at them for one time, and I said a lot of complaints were that some of the pinholes weren't properly lined up, and that where the buffer tube comes in, it is kind of a weak point. So if you got your bolt sliding back against that tube, a lot of the polymer, especially the first generation FMKs, they tended to fail back there. So I talked him into getting an aluminum lower over the plastic one. It's $40, $50 more, but I think he's going to do it. Because Firearms Outlet had a good deal on one, and Durham Outdoors had some good deals on the aluminum lower. But that's about it. I've been looking at guns. I actually went, I played, he still has that Chiappa lever action that I was talking about a couple weeks ago. He still hasn't sold it. And the price dropped down a little bit on it. And I liked the trigger on it. I just didn't really like the fit and finish and the kind of crappy fake case collar hardening. But gee, I really liked the trigger on it. So I'm looking at another lever action. So somebody's going to have to slap me so I don't buy another lever gun. But that's about it.
Well, what's wrong with another lever gun?
You never have too many levers.
I have this addiction with 22s. I think there's meetings for people like me. I don't need another 22. I bet you I've got at least 15 or 16 22s. I got so many 22s, I'm lending them to my friends. But I just like.
Well, then think of it this way. Maybe it's time to expand your collection. You don't have to leave your comfort zone of 22, but maybe expand to like a 22 Hornet.
I actually know. I thought about that. A 22 Hornet revolver would be nice.
Yeah, you can get those in bolt action too.
Yeah.
Get something like that. It's a little bit more oomph.
I've also been looking at 20 gauges. I wouldn't mind getting a 20 gauge auto, semi-auto shotgun.
Yeah. For any particular purpose or just to add to the collection?
Well, for hunting.
For hunting, okay.
I don't have a semi-auto shotgun anymore. The last one I had was I won a Remington 1100 G3 for the National Wild Turkey Federation. It was a gun of the year. It was like a beautiful gun. I mean, it was gorgeous, gorgeous. It didn't work out of the box. It was nothing but problems from day one.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up, yeah, I really don't like the Remington 1100s. I've never tried a Versamax, so I can't say, but I wouldn't mind. Even something similar to what Sarah has. She has that, the Mossberg International, the 20 gauge.
Yes, she does.
I've looked at them online, but I've never actually handled one. The only other disadvantage is something like that, because anything, you know, that's Turkish, the year warranty's 2 years. It's not a long warranty on them, so.
Yeah, well
and I looked at the Mossberg, the 930s, but they don't come in a 20, I don't think.
I don't know. If you ever come around, I'm sure Sarah will let you fondle it and even take it out and shoot it. The only kind of downside that I had, and if you're planning on hunting with it, it's not really a downside, but the tube on them, you can only fit, I'm trying to remember, I think like one in the gun, maybe five in the tube. I want to say you can only fit like four in the tube. So if you're doing this for the purpose of competition and thinking, oh, I'll shoot a 20 gauge, less recoil, you know, and, you know, still compete with the big boys with 12 gauges, well, you're just not going to get the capacity up there.
No, and you can't, they don't make the mini shells in a 20 gauge either. So it's,
it'd
be more for hunting. They don't make a 20 gauge or a mini 20 gauge shell. I think Gala just has the 12 gauge minis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And also, back when I was friends with the owner of a gun range, we could get our 20 gauge for the same price as the 12 gauge. But now I looked into it and you can't find that anywhere, at least not for where I've looked around.
Oh, no, near me, the crappy tire has, you can get the Federal and the Winchester bulk crap stuff for the same prices. 12 and 20s are the same price.
But that's still more expensive than, I think, like Challenger.
No, I think the 12 and the 20 are pretty similar. It's when you start going to the sub-gauges, like, try finding 16. It'll be, like, double. And 410s are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But 12 and 20s seem... I bet you 20's probably the second biggest seller.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look into that and see. Because I think Sarah's collection of 20 gauges is getting a little light.
But that's it. That's all I did with guns this week.
Yep. So, Benny, what did you get up to?
So, nothing really, actually. I've still been busy with just finishing up the high holidays and getting back to work, and now we're short-staffed at work, so I don't have much free time. But I realized I have no scoped guns in my collection. The Luger American is scoped, but that's my dad's. And everything else is either got a red dot or irons, so, yeah.
Now, are any of your red dots magnified?
Nope. So I'm working on zero magnification here.
I'm actually trying to think right now. I'm thinking, I don't know if I have any guns with any magnifications either.
I have lots.
No. My only scope I think I had on my 22 and I broke it, so.
You haven't replaced it yet?
Honestly, no. I just don't shoot 22s very often. If I'm going to the range, I'm going to shoot my pistols. And I don't generally bring my 22 pistol with me anyways. And I think I bring up my 22 stuff for like new people to shoot and try. And I'll always bring out my Cooey just because it's a bolt action. And that way, if you're bringing someone out for the first time, they get a little excited. You know, it's not a semi. It's not going to auto load for them.
Well, you're never going to be able to do another maple seed unless you get a scope on that 10-22.
Oh, I was going to say, well, I don't need a scope. Well, I need a scope. I'm not good enough to do it without a scope. But
oh, neither am I.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to do a maple seed, and I bet you in a year or two when I sign up for a maple seed, that's when I'll buy another scope. But until then, I just don't shoot it enough. Now, mind you, with the property now, I realized I could set up a piece of steel out in the field behind me, and I could shoot that right from the porch. So maybe then I'll get a scope.
Ammo prices are going to... Your ammo budget, sorry, is going to go way up.
You're assuming I have a budget already. You know how much Sarah and I shoot?
It's like, most of us say, oh, we're going to go dry fire. Mike's like, yeah, I'm going to go shoot out at the back, get some sugar time in.
We'll see about that. I still love shooting my handguns too much, so I'll still probably spend most of my time at the range anyways. So does that mean that you're in the market to buy a scope for one of your guns, Benny?
I wish. I am not. I'm working more on the business right now. When I get the business up and running, maybe I'll have some profit and I can tip that into a scope for one of my guns. But as of right now, I'm stuck using what I got.
Yeah, what gun do you think you would put a scope on?
He needs a gun to put the scope on.
Yeah, well that's my question, right? Do you have something that would be appropriate to put a scope on?
So I'd probably put a scope either on my Marlin, or when I finish my AR, I'd probably put it on my AR.
Okay.
It also depends. Like, I might just, you know, put a scope on my Tavor and then move the EOTech onto the AR, because it's not like I can really... There aren't many ranges where you can really stretch your legs in Ontario that I have access to right now, so...
Yeah.
Easier to, you know, if I can... I go to the bush or something, I can use my Tavor, but I can't bring an AR, so...
But for your business, so that people get the full gambit of firearms that they can try, you need a sniper rifle, which would be a bolt action with a scope.
See, the plan was, my dad was supposed to buy a bolt action center fire rifle, but he decided he wanted to go, he had to fix the roof instead, and so he
bought... go buy a bucket from Canadian Tire for like $2. That roof fixed.
I totally agree, but not my credit card.
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't turn out the way you're hoping.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this week I spent a lot of time on YouTube trying to look into doing the weak hand reload for revolvers. Because I noticed a lot of the top revolver shooters seem to do the weak hand reload. So what I mean by that is you activate the cylinder release with your strong hand and push. Well, and then a lot of times you use your weak hand to push the cylinder out. And then you just hit the ejection rod to knock them all out. And you reach and you grab your speed loader with your weak hand and load it in. So the theory is that your strong hand never loses its proper grip. And that way it'll maintain that good grip throughout the whole thing. But I tried doing it with my Ruger, and you just can't do it with the Ruger. Because with Ruger, the cylinder release, you have to push into the gun as opposed to pushing forward. Does that make sense?
The way I'm describing it's a push release.
Yeah.
It's like push, pull, and press. And the Ruger's the push in.
Yeah, push in. So it doesn't quite work with it. And then I kind of tossed up the idea of buying another cylinder release, because I saw someone posted online how they did a modification, and they essentially added this long, I guess you could call it like stick, I don't know how else to describe it, and it's attached to that cylinder release so that you don't have to reach as far, so it takes a lot less strength to be able to push it so that you can activate it.
So you can't release your cylinder with your strong hand?
I can, but it's very hard. Just because of how far I have to reach with my thumb, I just don't have the strength with the tip of my finger to be able to put, or with the tip of my thumb to be able to push it in. I'd say consistently.
You should have got a Smith & Wesson then.
Well, that's one more reason why maybe I should switch to a Smith & Wesson, but first I need about $800, so.
Closer to 1,000 these days. Unless you buy used.
That's what I was looking on the used market, and it looks like $800 seems to be a respectable amount to spend on a 686. But, yep, so looked into that, and I tried that, and it didn't seem to work very well. Maybe over the winter when I'm dry firing, I'll practice that a lot more and see if I can make it work. Just because if you don't really practice something and try it properly, then how do you know that it didn't work before you give up on it? So, like, when you're trying a new technique, you can't just do it once and say, oh, it didn't work. Well, you know, you never practice it that often, so I'll try it a few more times over the winter, and we'll see if it actually works out, and maybe I'll even put it on a clock and see what I can do faster. So, and outside of that, yesterday I went and helped set up at the Smith Falls Fish and Game Club for their I-Core match, and I shot that, and then today I RO'd it. For the first time in my I-Core career, I think, I came first in Classics, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
So now you're officially in the old man division.
I'm not officially in the old man division. I'm still, I still have my eyesight. Because I talked to a lot of the guys, and they're like, a lot of the guys in the open with the red dots, they're like, oh, the only reason why I'm in this is because I can't see my sights anymore. I don't know. Some people say that open is the go fast division. I'm starting to think maybe it's the old man division with bad eyes.
It is actually. You'll notice a lot of the older shooters have switched to the open or the red dots, the optics, because we physically have a hard time seeing the front sights.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, Trevor.
I don't think he's in seniors division yet. I'm in seniors, and then there's super senior, apparently.
I'm not going to lie. I'm just jealous.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what super senior is. Super senior 65 or just 60?
I haven't looked into it, to be honest with you.
We'll find out. Anyways, yeah, so that's all I did this week in guns. So, guns in the news. Thomas, story number one.
I guess I posted a thing on Facebook because the Canadian Coalition of Firearms Rights put a thing up. Canadian Tire post, well, they don't post it publicly. This is one of their stores. And it's stopping the sales of all SKS firearms and accessories, everything basically. So all the Soviet, all the Tapco brand stock, scopes, rails, sights are all being canceled, and the stores are asked to return them to the supplier. All kinds of rumors that it's something to do with the RCMP, da 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 da. I distinctly remember an article not too long ago where some leftard went nuts at Canadian Tire out east because they had SKS assault rifles in store. So I'm assuming it has nothing to do with the upcoming threat of new legislation from the Liberals. I have a feeling they're just cowing down to some Liberal ante that had a meltdown in the stores because they saw SKSs. Which, as we all know, is no different than any other rifle. You know, it's.
I don't know if Canadian Tire would fold that easily, though, because I remember a few years ago there was a story about someone freaking out in a Canadian Tire because they had Savage Arms, and they were going off about how, you know, savages mean to the
Indian
native
logo.
People.
That was directed at the company Savage rather than Canadian Tire, in which case Savage could say they were given permission to do that.
Oh, okay, I thought that was more directed at Canadian Tire than it was Canadian Tire for carrying a brand that would be so cruel.
No, but if you enter any Canadian Tire in, you know, Toronto, although that's probably not saying much, you won't see guns or ammo.
No, not in Toronto. But you come out here, the one near me, they have some SKSs, and as I was saying a couple weeks ago, the one in Coburg, he's got to have at least 50. 50 SKSs, and he says that's their biggest selling firearm. So I messaged Canadian Tire, and I complained about it, basically, and I said, you know, it's no different than any other firearms. And I get the standard reply. He says, hi, Thomas, thank you for reaching out. As part of our regular product review process, we are often introduce or retire products from our catalog, taking into consideration products mix and assortment. Last year alone, we introduced 10,000 new items, including products in our hunting and fishing categories in support of Canadians' rich outdoor traditions. So, yes. They just did a copy and paste on it because we all know that there's. So, they sent me back the reply, and I said, really? Now tell me the truth, please. Removing a product is one thing. You forcibly stopping the sale and pulling a product from the stock and from the shelves. And they never replied after that because basically, you know, I caught them in a lie. They weren't changing product. They pulled everything. Every assortment, stocks, everything. So it's a complete rip out of all, anything assorted to SKS. So I'd like to know really what would happen, but we'll never know.
I don't know. Like the only thing I could possibly see, and there is some sort of logic to, if we're not going to carry the rifle, then we're not going to carry the accessories, right? So I don't know who their distributor for SKSs are, but let's just say that Canadian Tire went to their supplier and said, hey, we're going to stop selling these. Maybe they're not popular enough. Whatever reason, Canadian Tire is allowed to decide what products are allowed, or they want or do not want to carry. And the supplier said, hey, you know, them thinking, I can get more money if I say, hey, I'll give you your money back, you know, whatever that dealer pricing was, and I'll sell them myself, and I'll get way more money for it.
That's possible, too, because it says that stop the sale of FMA SKS firearms in assortment. So maybe that's the distributor. I don't know. Maybe they had a problem with the distributor. But at least, you know, you don't send, at least be honest with me. Say, you know, we had a problem with the distributor. It's not that we're not carrying the rifle or whatever. But to have this go out, so.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing, though. What they gave you is the vanilla answer, right? It's the, you know, you're not hurting anyone's feeling. But if they said, oh, we're having a problem with the distributor, then that becomes something different, right? Now they're publicly saying there's something wrong with another company. Maybe that company doesn't want to do business with them anymore. Like, there's tons of other repercussions that could come from singling out an individual. Same reason why they'll never say, oh, we're not carrying SKSs because we think that they're only used by bad people.
Well, since I did the second response and I asked them for the truth, they never responded. But I messaged them at 6 o'clock in the morning because I was sick and I couldn't sleep and hadn't slept for 2 days. And I figured, screw this, I'm going to write them. And I wrote them at 6 a.m. I got a response back at like 6:12. So I think they're already waiting for that reply because I know quite a few people have contacted them. The guy from International Liberty Draft, I blanked on his name. Not Wendell, the other guy. Tyler, I'm sorry. I know Tyler did message him because he put his message up too. So a lot of people have contacted him. So I think we're all just getting the standard copy and paste vanilla reply, as you said.
Yeah.
Not that I like SKSs, but we know, as for new shooters, it is the cheapest option out there. Like, they had them for $220. That's some, depending on the grade, $199 to $275, depending on the grade. And for a new shooter, come on. It's a no-go. If you're 18, 19 and you're in college and you want to do some hunting and you don't have a lot of money, it's either the SKS or you double your money and you get yourself a Savage Axis.
Or you're just really cheap and in your 20s and you want a semi-automatic centerfire.
True.
Because actually I bought my SKS from a Canadian Tire too.
Like, I don't like them, but there's nothing wrong with them. They're crappy triggers, but for the money, you can't go wrong. And even with some of the commercially available hunting ammunitions, or if you reload that caliber, you know, you're not going to get a tack driver, but you can definitely get a rifle that's more than serviceable for hunting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, so that's the only thing really new.
Yeah. All right, Benny, what's story number two?
From Aaron's Facebook page. It's an update from our interview with Aaron. Last night, my parents' 90-pound dog attacked me for no reason, savagely biting and partially severing my lips. I went to the emergency room, whereupon they shipped me to a hospital in Jacksonville to have immediate reconstructive surgery. I've only just returned home. I am fortunate in that no pieces were missing. The plastic surgeon said it was a good approximation and that apparently a good outcome. I require over 50 stitches. I have no idea if I will suffer scarring or loss of function. Right now, I look like a zombie victim from The Walking Dead. I can only partially open my mouth, and talking is difficult, as half my lips are literally stitched together. Right now, my hospital bill is over $1,000, and that doesn't cover prescriptions. I have 5. Follow-ups, appointments, stitches removal, and any additional plastic surgery needed to make my face look less horrifying.
So the gun community really stepped up to help out Aaron. A GoFundMe account was set up to help offset her medical bills, and within 8 hours, they had already reached their target of $5,000. And as of today, they're almost at $8,000 has been donated.
Excellent.
And if you are interested in helping out Erin with her medical bills, there is a GoFundMe page set up, and there will be a link in the show notes for it.
I actually spoke to her today and asked her how she was feeling. And she said physically, much better. The swelling's coming down, the pain's starting to go. But emotionally, it's been really hard on her because she had to put down the family dog, and she feels guilty. You know, the dog did something stupid and hurt her, and now the dog has to die for it. So I know she's having a really difficult time emotionally with it. So if you've got any extra funds, you know, please go on and donate to the cause. So what's new in the industry since I threw that in at the end? We have a New Shooter Canada giveaway. Matador Arms has graciously donated one of their furry grips to us. So what I did, actually, I saw this online. I just
you're
saw
saying
the ad.
Fury, right?
Fury.
Okay. It almost sounds like you're saying furry.
I thought it said furry.
No, Fury. Fury. It's got one R. Fury.
I was thinking the same thing, and I'm like, it looks matte. It must be so nice and like soft and satin.
Now, if you want to put fur on it, that's fine, but I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe a little grip tape. So I messaged Matador Arms asking for the dimensions of the grip. And I just tell you what Anika wrote me. She said, "Hi, Thomas. I recognize your name right away from New Shooter Canada. I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Thanks about inquiring about the Fury grip. The dimensions are as follows. So the height's 4 inches, width's 1.2, and length is 1.4, and it weighs 5 ounces, and the retail's $128. Those measurements are taken at the widest part, but the grip is quite contoured, fits all AR-15s, and with compatible grip blocks. Let me know if you have any other questions." And so I did. I had two more questions. So she answered me back. She said, "You know, that's great. How about we ship you one so you can touch and feel it yourself?" Which I like touching and feeling things, especially gun related. So she wrote, "Since we haven't yet collaborated directly with you guys and it's long overdue, how about we'll just send you one anyway and you can keep it for your own build or pass it down? Sounds good?" So I actually finished my AR. So unlike other people, George, I thought about Benny for a second, you know, cause he's got an extra lore he's working on, but then I figured, no, we'll just give this giveaway. So. Sorry, Bay.
I guess I'll have to try and get one of my many relatives to enter the contest for me.
You might as well, because MD's getting her pal, your dad. Your father-in-law might do it. Even though he's a little anti-gun, he still might do it.
I feel like relatives of hosts shouldn't be able to enter.
Otherwise, yeah, there might be some one-year-olds going for this.
One and a half.
You know what I didn't realize, too, is that I'm actually behind in my podcast. And I didn't see the last Modern Rifleman Radio. They had episode 107, and I missed it. So I was actually online today. I listened to Slamfire, and I figured, oh, I wonder if Modern Rifle has any up. And I went back, and apparently they put an episode out a month ago, and I didn't even see it. And they've got Nolan from Matador Arms on as the guest of the show, and they actually had a muzzle brake giveaway that I didn't know about. So I don't know if the hot contest is still open. It's probably over by now. But if you go back and listen to Modern Rifleman Radio, episode 107, they actually had an interview with Nolan from Matador Arms, so that should be good. I haven't listened to it, but I did download it today, so I'm looking forward to it.
I entered that contest.
Is it still open?
I don't remember, but probably. It doesn't hurt to enter again.
Yeah. We can just go on to Modern Rifleman Radio's Facebook page to see if the contest is still open. They have a muzzle brake giveaway going with Matador Arms, so... And you'll probably have a really good interview with Nolan, so... I'm looking forward to listening to it.
Manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, what's our main topic this week?
Our main topic this week is hearing. Be aware that when you're at the range and you always hear the old guy say, "Oh, it's okay. I get used to the noise." You're not actually getting used to the noise. You're actually losing some of your hearing. So, just to get it done.
Just going deaf, Grandpa.
Yeah, you're literally just going deaf, and that's why you're not actually getting used to it. You just can't hear those sounds anymore, so it doesn't bother you anymore. So don't do that. Make sure you always wear hearing protection. And if you think that you're getting used to a noise, then it probably means that you need some more hearing protection on, because, you know, it wasn't as loud as it was at the beginning of the day.
I've actually had people say that. "Oh, my ears have calluses. I don't need it." Yeah, you're not shooting unless you put it on.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So, some technical information, the boring stuff. So, there's a couple of different ways that you can find the rating for hearing protection. NRR, SNR, and SLC are the popular ones. NRR stands for Noise Reduction Rating. It is the North American rating system. The number that is associated with it with the rating is in decibels. SNR stands for Single Number Rating, and it is the European version of the NRR. And the SLC stands for Sound Level Conversion, and it is the Australian-New Zealand method of measuring decibel and classifying hearing protection into classes rated for different levels of sound. So how loud is a decibel? The weakest sound heard is 0 decibels. A whisper in a quiet library 6 feet away is about 30 decibels. Normal conversation at 3 feet, 60 to 65 decibels. City traffic inside your car is 85 decibel. At 90 to 95 decibel, is the level at which sustained exposure may result in hearing loss. So a power mower, 3 feet away, 107 decibels. A power saw, 3 feet away, 110 decibels. You'll start to feel pain at 125 decibels. At 140 decibels, even short-term exposure can cause permanent damage. It is the loudest recommended exposure with hearing protection.
I notice they don't mention rock and roll concerts in there, eh? Oh, there it is. Loud rock concert, 115.
Oh, yeah. I missed that one. A jet engine, 100 feet away at 140 decibels. And death to hearing tissue happens at 180 decibels. And the loudest sound possible is 194 decibels. So how many decibels is the firearm? So the amount of time, because a lot of this has to do with how long you're exposed and the amount of sound. So a gunshot, the sound produced from it is approximately 2 milliseconds long. A 410 with a 28-inch barrel is about 150 decibels. A 20-gauge with a 28-inch barrel is 152.5 decibels. And a 12-gauge with a 28-inch barrel is about 151.5 decibels. Centerfire rifles, 223, 55 grain commercial load out of an 18-inch barrel, 155.5 decibel. A 30-30, 20-inch barrel, 156 decibel. A 308 out of a 24-inch barrel, 156.2. 30-06 out of an 18-inch barrel is 163 decibel. Some centerfire pistol, 9mm is 159.8 decibel. Your 38 Special, 156 decibel, 357, 164, 45 ACP, 157 decibel, and 45 Colt, 154.7 decibels. So what are safe noise levels? Remember how I said it's a matter of decibel and the amount of time that you're exposed to it. So this chart is based on the maximum time you're exposed for every 24 hours. So I'm going to skip on down to, let's say we'll start, I think some of those sounds started at, we'll say 127 decibels for 1 second. That's how long you should be exposed. 130 to 140, less than 1 second. And 140 and up, you should not be exposed to it at all. So that's with hearing protection. So 2 milliseconds. So what, that would be 500 shots, technically a day. You should probably be, or less. And actually, a lot of those decibels were in the 150s, 160s. So even that, technically, you should get no exposure to it. Otherwise, it could cause permanent damage.
And we're talking outside.
Mike, they're all over 150.
We're talking outside, too.
Yes, I believe these are all considered outside numbers.
Because when you're shooting indoors, even though you've got the 2 millisecond, the sound reverberates. So you get the initial sound wave, and then you've got the second sound wave coming back to you as it bounces off the walls and the ceiling, so it's even worse indoors.
And if you're shooting, just say, first thing that came up, 45 ACP, 150 decibels, that's probably what it is for that first 2 milliseconds, and then when it reverberates back, it's probably not coming back at that same decibel rating. It's probably losing some of that, like the magnitude to it, but it's still going to be a very high level, you know, compared to that chart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's adding to that 24-hour period where you shouldn't be hearing more of it than a certain level. So you should take less shots, if that makes sense. I also would assume that the same thing would apply if you're underneath a tin roof shooting your rifle, especially a short barrel, and it bounces back and it gives you a headache after 2 shots, you know that it's probably too loud. So how does your noise reduction rating affect sound? So if you're exposed to a sound that 100 decibels, and you're wearing hearing protection with an NIR rating, and I'm doing this because I'm assuming North America, this is, you know, New Shooter Canada, with an NIR rating of 33 decibels, you might think that your ears will only hear 67 decibels, you know, 100 minus 33, 67. But that's not actually how it works. The sound you're exposed to is actually measured in what's called dBA, so decibels applied, which is most common. And your hearing protection is in decibels. To err on the side of safety, you would actually take your hearing protection in decibels and subtract 7, then divide by 2. Therefore, your 33 decibel hearing protection minus 7 is 26, then divide it by 2, and you'll get 13. This means that the sound that your ears are exposed to is actually closer to 87 decibels.
Ouch.
So what does doubling up on your hearing protection do? Well, when hearing protectors are worn in combination, like earplugs and over-the-ear muffs, you add 5 more decibels to the protection with a higher NRR. So you don't actually add them. So if you have like 33 and 20, you don't actually add them and get an NRR of 53. You would actually just get the 33 plus 5. So you're up to 38 then. Types of hearing protection. I'll let you guys take over. Thomas, what's the first one I have written down here?
Disposable earplugs. Disposable earplugs provide comfortable hearing protection at a reasonable cost. These are cost-effective and a good way for people to lose their hearing, who may lose their hearing frequently. On average, they have a 28 decibel rating. Now, I'm just going to add something here too. Most of these sponge hearing protections, and I have a set in my hand, they say right on them, not rated for firearms. You got to really watch the ratings on these. I've got some of these 3M Easy Fits. They're crap. You don't want to use them. You want to get the highest DBR rating that you can for any hearing protection. I think the highest I've seen is a high density foam, and it's 29, and that's the highest. And I wouldn't use anything except these for 22. I wouldn't use it for a 300 Win Mag or something like that. This is where I would double up. But I like the high density sponge ears. It's great indoors for 22s, and it's great for doubling up. Pros, I guess, would be the cost. They're inexpensive. They're disposable. Cons, it's everybody's ear is different, so you have a really hard time getting the fit. So you got to really read the instructions how to actually insert these into your ears. You have to roll it as a tube, let it go in, and then hold it and let it expand to get the seal.
I can never get them to fit right. And when I finally get them to fit right, someone comes up and says something to me, and I'm an idiot, and I pull it out, and then I go, I just pulled it out. Now I can't get that seal again.
So I think I'll bring up a pro later on to why I like these.
I wish I had the package, because I have a set of the high density ones that I opened up last night because I lost my silicone. I wear earplugs every night to sleep because I've got a sleep disorder and any type of noise wakes me up. These light 3M cheap ones that you can get at the record store for concerts and stuff, they're horrible. Even just laying in bed, a noise I can hear with these things on. But with the high density ones, I don't hear it as much. But the advantage too is if I'm shooting my 22 and outdoors, it's nice because you can get a nice cheek hold. So you don't have your hearing protection. Sometimes, depending on your ears, if you've got the big ones that are a big profile, you can't get a proper cheek weld. Some of them have a low profile, so you can get a cheek weld. So I find with 22s, I like these because I can get a proper cheek weld.
Yeah. And this goes along with the, like you would say, it's not as great with the larger caliber. But I also find because these don't protect all around your ear, I can feel the sound coming through the side of my skull. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's the mastoid bone in your ears. So even though you're plugging your ear canals, the vibration is still being picked up from that. I believe it's the mastoid bone in your ear. So as I said, for rimfires, indoors and outdoors, these are fine, but anything bigger, I wouldn't use them because, as you said, you're getting the second vibration. Yeah. You're getting the initial millisecond, and then you're getting the physical vibration hitting you.
Yeah. Okay, so Benny, what's the next one?
Reusable earplugs. Reusable earplugs provide long-term cost savings over disposable plugs, mainly because they can be washed and reused. Reusable earplugs require no rolling before insertion, making insertion faster and easier. On average, they have a 26 decibel NNR rating. Pros, well, we just mentioned them. They're much easier to use correctly. Cons, they hurt my ears. They actually do hurt my ears.
Yeah.
And this is what I was going to mention previously, was that the disposable ones, they're a lot more comfortable to double up with. The reusable ones, I feel like they hurt my ear if I have them in for too long with the muffs over them. And I like to use mine in conjunction. I'll turn my microphone all the way up on my electric hearing protection, and then I can hear people talk, even though I have the second earplug in.
Yeah. That's actually what I did today because I knew I was going to be a dedicated RO. And every once in a while, someone like George, who comes up to the line and shoots full power loads, and, you know, their revolver goes off with a boom, you know, it's nice to have the double up protection. And man, did my ears hurt after a day of it. So do you have any experience with these, Thomas?
No, I've never used them.
No. They're the ones that I got there. I bought them in a store, and they came in a little cup, and they come with all these instructions. And long story short, I think I put water in with them, and I nuked them up for 30 seconds, just enough to make them like malleable. And then you stick them in your ear, and you let them cool off, and they kind of form to your ear. So they're kind of a cheap custom option, I guess you could almost call it.
Yeah, I think Dean from Select Shooting Supplies donated us a set of those for the last charity shoot that he was involved in.
Yeah, I think so.
Another option is the silicone earplugs, which you can actually, when you put them into your ear, they will form a seal to your ear.
Oh, but like again, the ones that are like putty?
It's like a putty, and I find for sleeping, they're about the best. And then if I don't have any of those, then the high-density orange with the 29 dB work good too. But again, it's not covering your whole ear. Your ear still picks up the vibrations, and the bones still pick up the vibrations too. But
yeah,
and they're expensive. It's about $8 or $9 nowadays for a set of three, and they're not reusable because you're shooting, you've got lead and crap on your hands, and any dirt on your hands is going to be transferred to the plug. So for shooting, they're only good for like one use.
Sorry, you said they came in a set of three, and then they come with six total, right?
Yeah, well, depending on the manufacturer, sometimes you get three, sometimes you'll get four sets.
Okay.
Those are actually the same as the sponge. You got to watch the rating on them. They have some silicone that's designed just to keep water under your ears for swimming. They have other ones that design for sound reduction. And even those tend to have a warning on it not to be used with firearms.
Yeah.
Because even though it's nice for low volume stuff, any of the disposable or anything that just blocks your eardrums is not really suitable for super high volume sounds.
Yep.
It's great for 22, anything low, but I'm like Benny. If I'm switching to my 9mm, I put the headset on top. Yep. Any other caliber except the 22.
Yep. And then the most expensive option of all of this are custom fit earplugs. They will be the most expensive, but they do come at a higher cost. They'll definitely have the most repeatable fit. And I have heard, depending on where you work, if you work in a noisy environment, some works will actually cover you to get custom fit earplugs. So
we get hearing protection provided at work.
Yeah. So I technically do too. So they put the little foamies out, but maybe your work doesn't like doing that. I don't know why they don't want to pay 5 cents a pair of foam earplugs, but some places, kind of like, you know how for my work, I'm supposed to have safety glasses, so I can go and I can get prescription safety glasses and they'll pay for them.
They actually gave me a set of, I think they're called John Howard hearing protectors, and they're a headset, and they're rated at 29 dB. They're actually pretty good. So, on my crew, they hand out these cheap yellow 3M ones that don't do squat. My department's really, really cheap. So a friend of mine is the supervisor of the subway. But the drivers, for some reason, and they're in an enclosed area, they get their really good orange ones because my department's too cheap to buy the good ones. So I just go see my friend at the end of the line and say, hey, you got any good hearing protection? And I just take a handful every time.
Hey, man, you got some good hearing protection?
Hey, man, yeah. there's only a few left, Thomas. Don't take too many. And that's what I'll do. I'll take a whole handful and I'll put them in my bag because I end up working in the subway. And between the trains coming in, the braking, the squealing, and everything else, and you're exposed for 8 hours. And I'm the only one in my department. Oh, Michelle too. Me and Michelle are the only two people that wear hearing protection on the subway platform.
Yeah. All right, so Thomas, why don't you take the next one?
The hearing bands?
Nope. One up.
Oh, the custom fit.
Nope. What? There's one in between there. See, you made the font so big.
Oh, where my name is. Thomas. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Earmuffs. Earmuffs hold their NRR level better than other hearing protection and can be worn all day long. They come in your normal mode and electronic modes, which will cut or reduce the sound that lets through when a sound level is made. On average, they have a 25 dB noise reduction. Pros, they're more comfortable all day long. Cons, safety glasses reduce effectiveness and can interfere with your hat or cheek. True. I've noticed that too. Other things as well, hats. I've had a young lady last year who just put it right over her hat. Well, she put the muff over her, the ears, the hat was over her ears, and then she put the muffs over the hat. I said, no, that's not going to work. You have to remove the hat. You have to have a seal around your ears. So if you use them, you don't want to have anything, even if I got my baseball hat, it's like right now with the headset that I'm using to record, I still have, my hat is not interfering at all with the headset. So I got a complete seal around it. So they're the most effective when used properly.
Yeah. And the other actually downside of it too, you're wearing a baseball cap. If you hit it on something, you know, or you hit like the brim of your hat with it, it will knock your earmuffs off. Like they fall off easy. That's kind of like, you know, the downside. You have to do a start position where you're laying down or something like that. It makes me a little nervous that they're just going to fall off.
Well, mine are pretty snug fitting, and a lot of them have, even though they have a plastic band, a lot of times there's a piece of metal in there, so you can actually adjust the tightness. Like the ones I got from work, they were so tight, they were giving me headaches, they were squishing my head. And I went online and I found out there's actually a metal band inside the head strap, so I could actually just bend them out a little bit and just got rid of some of that pressure.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them fitting too loosely.
Yeah.
The things I don't like about the ones that you can have the automatic cut off, there's still a split second before that it cuts the sound down, because you've got microphones that are picking up all the conversations, and it still takes a split second for that to kick in. So I'm not a fond of electronic earmuffs. I'm not a fan of them.
Yeah.
It depends on the brand too. Yeah. Like you can get some really good brands. What is it? Princess Auto has a set for like $25, $30. Don't go out and get some quality ones. Because even with the microphone turned off, I can still hear a lot of stuff. So
yeah,
Cabela's was having a sale on Walker electronic muffs. My dad picked up a pair.
Yeah, the more expensive ones tend to have a much better reaction time to muting the mics. And even with the mic turned off, they've got a much higher noise reduction than the $25 clear yellow crappy ones you get at Princess Auto. Hearing protection is something you shouldn't crimp on. Like if you buy half decent hearing protection,
hearing and eye protection. Mm-hmm. Don't cheap out. All right. And then the last.
You'll only lose those things once.
Hearing, you get to lose twice.
Both
I
ears.
Guess one for each side.
Well, same with your vision. You lose one at a time, right?
And the last thing I have written down here are hearing bands. So hearing bands are designed for fast, easy access. On average, they have an NRR rating of 22.5. So these are the ones you see them all the time. They have like a plastic kind of U shape. And then on the end, they have the two kind of, they look like a cone going in that you'd stick in your ear. These are good because you can wear them with your hat. They're quick on and off for easy conversation. But the downside is they're not really that great for your NRR rating, and they can be bumped off with a cheek rest.
Yeah. Well, we watch the Hickok 45 videos. That's what he uses quite often.
Yeah.
It's like a...
And I mean, see, it's one of those things where they're great for, I'd say, like cowboy shooters. If you don't want to use like the individual foamies where you got to full roll them up and put them in, because you have to wear the big cowboy hat. But at the same time, I was thinking about buying one of these. You can actually buy earmuffs that are designed to go like around the back of your head as opposed to over top.
I've seen those.
I've heard they're not as comfortable because they have to be a lot tighter to be able to hold themselves in that position, but it does allow you to wear a wide brim hat, which is nice on those. Yeah, it's nice on those hot sunny days.
My suggestion would be, especially if you're taking kids to the range, avoid the any of the disposable or reusable ear plugs. Use headsets because the kids aren't going to know how to properly.
And maybe it's for that reason, but when I looked into hearing protection for my daughter taking her to the range, I can't remember what the age is, but they actually tell you not to use in the ear hearing protection. Not only that, but also if you jam them in too far for a developing ear, you could damage their hearing before you even start shooting. So
I never thought about that. Yeah, for a younger person, you can actually do damage.
Yeah, and so... fit is a big thing. So most adults' head sizes will fit the standard earmuffs. You can adjust them up and down. But when it starts coming to kids, you need to buy them kid-sized earmuffs so that it will fit their head properly. Otherwise, the weight is going to be too much and it's going to force itself off their head. And then it's no good.
Yep.
Yeah, Zevi doesn't like wearing his hearing protection.
Nope.
You have to fight to get it on, but once it's on, it's...
Yeah, that's the same way my daughter is, right? She doesn't want them on, but once she has them on, she's cool. She'll run around with them all day long. And there is one thing. If you have kids and you're thinking of doing this, never take your earmuffs off in front of your kid. Because as soon as you do that, your kid's like, oh, I get to take mine off. And then you have to fight them to get them back on again.
Yes.
Parenting tips.
Parenting tip from New Shooter Canada.
Do you guys have any other, what's your favorite hearing protection type, Thomas?
I'm like Benny, I double up. I use the orange high density ones, and I wish I had the brand name on me because I threw the package in the garbage. I don't see it. I find they get a much better seal. I don't like anything that has those plastic cables coming out of it. I find it's too soft. So what I do is I always have the orange ones, and I'm shooting my I end up using them for everything. Like, I'll put the orange ones in, and even if I'm just shooting by myself in my 22, a lot of times I'll still put the headset on top of it.
Yeah.
The only time I won't is if I'm expecting somebody at the range and there's a buzzer, I'll just use a sponge till they get there so I can hear the buzzer go off. But most of the time I double up.
Yeah. What about you, Benny?
I'm currently using the Howard lights, so they're like the entry level for electronic hearing protection.
I thought the Howard lights were I thought they're a much higher level than entry.
Well, they're the cheapest. They're the cheapest, and I'm gonna say quality, but I think that's just because I bought them, so I think they're quality. But they tend to have a very good reputation. But they aren't considered like Peltors.
Yeah.
Well, even their standard Howard lights without the electronics, they're still a good quality. I've got a set of those downstairs.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I always thought that the Howard lights were, up there, premium.
So that's what I'm saying. They're not premium because they are like $50 or $60 depending, where you get them. But they're definitely not considered the worst electronic hearing protection out there, but they're definitely what I would consider entry level.
The other thing too is if you are looking to buy something like that, try avoid buying them online at Amazon or eBay. There's been a lot of counterfeits.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy something like that, buy it from a reputable retailer who gets it from a distributor that carries that product, because you get a counterfeit, you just risk the, even the price is cheap, you're risking doing damage to your ears. And it's big business doing counterfeit hearing protection these days.
That's really too bad.
But yeah, so I use Howard lights, and then I use I got CSSA gave out reusable hearing protection at the Toronto Sportsman Show. So that's what I use underneath.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Oh, I have a set of those right here from the CSSA. They're like the three segmented orange things.
Yep. The ribs. The
ribs. As soon as you get them, look at them. They're neat, cool. Keep the case and throw the plugs away. They don't really do a good job, but they're better than nothing.
Yeah. I normally just wear, I went out and I bought the highest NRR rating electronic earmuffs I could find, which I believe were Browning. I've had them forever now, and I think they have an NRR rating of like 33. And that's because I want to make sure that I could protect my hearing as much as possible. And then I got those. I want to say they're called like lugs. And those are the ones that you like boil in the microwave in water and you form them to your ears. They hurt my ears, but you know what? It's better to have them in, especially a day like today where I knew I was just going to be standing right beside, everyone shooting off their guns all day long. It was worth it. A little bit of pain so that I, don't go deaf. Or I should say any more deaf than I already am. Because as a side note, I was born with a hearing disability, and I can tell you, it really sucks. Like,
just a hearing disability?
So many things I want to say, but not appropriate for a podcast. but no, it really does suck. And you can never hear people in conversation. People start to think that you're just doing it to screw with them. People stop. Like, I literally have people who will stop trying to tell me stuff because they're like, oh, it's not worth it to try and tell you, because you're essentially, they're saying you're not worth it to for me to tell you this information. So it is a really shitty feeling to lose your hearing. So I recommend everyone keep their hearing as long as they can. If you're looking for any references about any of the stats or anything we talked about, I put all the reference links that I used for this episode in the show notes. I'm not saying they're all still good, especially if you're listening to this a year or two from now, but...
As usual, it's exceptionally done when Mike does the show notes, so...
This is what happens when you get really bored and you pre-make show notes, like, months in advance.
We Mike's had this episode, this topic in the can for a while because other things kept coming up, so we just saved it till we needed that topic. And it was beautiful. It was already done. We didn't get the show notes to Friday, and bang, it was instantly in there. So.
It's not like we recorded, you know, and we saved the episode. No. We just saved the show notes.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to events. Benny, why don't you take event number one?
You're asking Benny to do that because you know he's not going to swear. That's why.
Well, that and because annual. Before you came on, Benny was doing all the show prep for this event. So I felt it was only worth it it's only fair for him to, you know, get to do it.
Okay.
The second annual Heck Cancer Charity Shoot on October 21st at Guelph Rod and Gun Club. They've expanded the sponsors, and I went and grabbed a bunch of them. So, Thomas, you and your large show notes.
So, oh my.
The sponsors this year are, or so far are, Ragnarok Tactical, Grey Fox Strategic, War Doll, Titan Tactical, TDSA Canada, Land Shooting Supplies, Firearms Outlet Canada, Select Shooting Supply, Matador Arms, and Exville Apparel, and Fresh Collective, which isn't on my list, which I should have added on my list. But, yes, so it's quite a large, proceeds from this year's event will be donated directly to Mr. Scott H., who has stage 3 medullary thyroid cancer. Your support is greatly appreciated and will make a dramatic impact in the lives of Scott and his family. It's just gun community giving back to the gun community.
And it's $40. That includes one of Tim's good t-shirts and also includes lunch too.
Yep, it's pretty good. You get a t-shirt, a shoot, and lunch.
All right, Thomas, what's event number two?
Event number two is the Lance Silverdale Pumpkin Shoot, which is October 29th. It's from 10 a.m. to 4, I believe. The club's located at 4948 Concession Road. All kinds of stuff. The Pumpkin Shoot will open to the public for non-members. Entrance fee is $10 for members and non-members. You can shoot just about anything. They've got all kinds of stuff coming in. They're also going to have a 50-round BMG. It's expensive, 50 rounds a shot. They're also going to have a trap tournament.
50 rounds a shot?
Sorry, 50 BMD at $10 a shot. So one round is 10 bucks.
Okay, that's a little bit a little closer.
I don't have my glasses on when I'm reading this. So as well as being visually impaired, I'm hearing impaired apparently too. They also have a trap shoot. Entrance fee is $20. And you can win a membership if you get first place in that. Barefoot Bushcraft also offering axe and axe throwing and archery. There'll be a barbecue and drinks provided by the Boy Scouts. Gun raffles. They have a CZ Shadow 2 up from the grabs. And they also have a Canuck short barrel pump from Odell. So I'm going to be there. So
I'm hopefully going to be there.
I will. I'm going to be there with Grand Power Excalibur and a Grand Power K22 Extreme. So if you want to try those two guns, just come and see me. See the tall, skinny guy in a black shirt? That'll be me. Old, tall, skinny guy in the black shirt will be me.
Okay. Event number three is the CFI Range Officer Course, which is on October 28th. It's going to be located at 2300 Cumberland Road, Cumberland Beach, Ontario. Start time is 9 a.m. sharp, and it should be over by 4. And if you're saying, hey, Mike, I thought there was going to be a show or a link for this in the show note, there should be. Thomas?
I didn't put in there. Sorry. I've been choking and coughing and had my mic muted. I will put the note in. Breathe. Okay.
Breathe. All right. Well, hopefully we'll have a link in there for this week's show notes. Benny, why don't you tell us what your next upper you're going to get or lower you're going to get.
Lower. So this one costs money, so it's not happening. CCFR, once in a lifetime chance. Win this custom-engraved CCFR AR-15 lower receiver. Entry for your chance to win, available to members only. Serial number is CCFR 556. Entries are $10 a ticket, must be a CCFR member to win. To purchase tickets, please visit the CCFR store and buy as many tickets as you'd like. And then the link's in the show notes.
I like the safety selector.
Yeah.
Pew, no pew, and A.
All right, so listener email, Thomas.
I had listener Thomas message me. He said, hi, Thomas, great interview on New Shooter Canada with Aaron. Well done, sir. If you ever need assistance at the range with someone who contacts through Blazing Sword, feel free to contact me. I'd love to help out. Excellent. Keep up the good work on the show. I love how the depth and breadth of your firearm knowledge adds and brings such value to the podcast. Thank you, Tom. Why'd you make me read it?
Well, because it was to you.
It was very nice. So I hear from Thomas from time to time, and he's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah. And if you have any feedback, questions, or comments, you can send them to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comments section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. iTunes, Stitchers, we have no new reviews, so get out there and give us a review. It helps bump us up in the stats, and it also, you know, makes us feel good about ourselves. Facebook likes. Apparently we're at 1,192. Ha 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 ha. Not sure who wrote that there.
I guess Benny was changing it as I was. It had the old update. We put on 20 since then, thanks to Matador Arms, because of the contest. The Facebook likes have really shot up. So I was doing it at the same time Benny was doing it. So I think he put haha, because there's an extra one in there. We made it 11,000.
Well, hopefully we'll be there in no time.
I think we'll be. I thought we'd be at 1,200 by today. It's still excellent. It's nice when you have giveaways because it gets people liking the show and giving you more exposure.
Yeah, you get a lot of attention.
I like attention. I'm very needy.
There's a reason we're on a podcast. Hello.
All right, so closing comments. It looks like you put this in here, Thomas.
Well, because we're talking about the different Smith & Wesson frame sizes last week, and I accidentally was incorrect. The J frame is actually smaller than the K frame. So I-frame, which is an older one, it's a small model. The J frame is actually a small model. The K frame is medium. The L-frame is medium to large. There was an old M-frame. I don't think they even make them anymore, but it's extra small. It's really old. Then the N-frame is the large frame, and then you have the two massive X-frame and Z-frame. So those are actual frame sizes for the Smith & Wesson revolvers.
Uh-huh. What uses a Z-frame?
I don't know. That's what it had on there. I thought the 500 was the X-frame.
So I thought it was an X-frame too.
Yeah, they had a Z-frame listed, so I don't know what that is.
Maybe that's like a teaser, future revolver coming out with a bigger caliber.
Maybe they have like a 50 BMG revolver, who knows?
Or maybe,
I feel like they hit 50 and then they stop.
Or maybe it's going to be an 8-shot 500 Smith & Wesson.
Well, that's a possibility.
I mean, when you need to get things done.
Why not do it 8 times?
I have fired a 460 and it was nasty. I'd hate to see what a 500's like.
When you develop such
certain
a
calibers that they're meant to come in single shot.
Yeah.
You're not meant to have to take a second shot.
Well, you don't want to take a second shot.
When you develop such a bad flint from shooting that 500 Smith & Wesson, it'll take you 8 shots.
Well, it's funny because Matthew and I from Geeks, Gadgets, Guns were talking. And he picked up a Ruger Redhawk in 44 Magnum. And I find the Ruger Redhawk's actually very manageable. I think because it's got the extra weight, it's got a big extended frame, and the grips are much better. But with the end frame Smith & Wesson, I think because the back strap is actually touching your hand, and I've had a couple of Model 29s, and I sell them not long afterwards because you develop a flinch. The Super Redhawk isn't as bad because you don't get the pain. But yeah, anything like that, you will develop a flinch, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Which is why I sell them.
Yeah.
So why did you buy them to begin with?
It was such a good deal.
That's a Model 29 is a pretty classic model too.
The last one I got, I knew what it was worth. And the member of the range was very ill and he was dying. And the president of the club was selling it. And this thing came with the original box of ammunition the guy bought with it, and it was a Generation 2. So with the Generation 2, it has the pin barrel, and it has the recessed chambers. I think generation 3, they got rid of the recessed chambers. So anybody looking for a Model 29, they want a generation 2 because it has all the old features on it. The gun had less than 50 rounds through it. The blowing was perfect. There was no scratches to it. So I knew that it had had, you know, half decent value. And I took it up to Williams. It was the 5-inch barrel. No, I got to see. 5 or 6 inch. I also had one with the 8 and 5, an 8 inch barrel. But this thing, it was mint. And I took it up to Williams Arms to sell it in consignment. And they put it up for, I got a lot more than I paid for it. Even at their price. Because they usually take 20% of the sale. Because when I talked to him on the phone, he said, well, we'll probably give you $500 for it. And then Stu went to the back and he showed it to John. He goes, no, we're going to give you $675 for it. Because they're going to sell, I think they sold it for $8.50.
Oh, wow.
Because it was in such nice shape. But I got the flinch.
Yeah. At what point in time do you say it's not worth it, right?
You know, I was downloading it to almost 44 specials. And it, you know, it just, it's such a big, powerful gun. And I did try the Parchmer decelerator grips, and it's, which got the backstrap off your hand. But what happened, because it's such a soft rubber, the gun would torque in your hands. It just wasn't comfortable.
Oh, wow.
But I couldn't pass it up because it was such a good deal.
Oh, yeah. I trust me, I know that part.
You know, something like that where it's got the old school bluing and the deep polishing, you know how much time and work and man hours went into building that gun. You appreciate it for what it is. Because you know,
oh, yeah,
it didn't come off an assembly line and just slap together. Back then, it didn't have all the CNC machining. That was all the recess was all done by hand. Everything was done by hand. So,
yeah. All right. So, why don't we move on to shout outs? Benny, do you have any shout outs?
Well, I'm not going to steal Thomas's, although I will second his before he actually says them. I'd like to thank my lovely wife for feeding me over the past 3 weeks, because, wow.
She never fed you before those 3 weeks?
It seems like it, the amount of food I've eaten. Starting the whole diet thing all over again, trying to work out, lose all that holiday fat. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, and shout out to Thomas and to Kathy again. Yeah. And the and Ragnarok crew as well.
The Ragnarok crew?
The Ragnarok crew. I'm sorry, I had 2 hours of sleep this morning. And then I went to work. That's my excuse.
All right, Thomas, how about you?
My shout out's to Warning Shot and Jewel. Congratulations. They're going to have a baby Warning Shot soon.
Yep, that's wonderful. I will also third that. Congratulations, Matt and Jewel. I also want to give a shout out to all the people at the I-Core match. Dave's the guy who ran it, and all the other ROs, and all the shooters. I didn't get a hard time from anyone, which is nice. And I say hold my record of not DQing anyone, but I mean, I've only like ROed an entire match about 3 times. So knock on wood, but it was a good day. Everything went well. I didn't have any guns pointed at me. I'm happy.
That's always a good day.
This is always good.
Yep. All right, so Thomas, why don't you take us on out of here?
Till next week, keep your barrels down, range, and smoking, and take a good shooting.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening.
Well, I really like 22 men.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Sorry, guys.
You're not allowed to die on the show, Thomas.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
Be awkward when we released it.
I'll let Mike read his part.
I like to be included.
will sound professional that way.
Sound, not be.
Okay, stopping Audacity. Now we can say whatever we want. Except that Mike's still recording.
I'm just sitting here being the pretty one in the group.